with us, amongst us, telling stories, cracking jokes, and it was really delicious to be with him.
He used to tell a story about a farmer who was very attracted by a train going through the countryside in the very early years of trains in Italy. And on a free day, the farmer went off to have a ride on this new contraption, you see. There's a whole scene, I can't do it like Father Pio did it, at the window of the ticket taker, not the ticket taker, the ticket seller. Where are you going, sir? I said, why don't you mind your own business? Do you want to return tickets, sir? I think you're very nosy. Anyway, they finally got the chap on the train. He sat down in front of a priest, who was on to him immediately. And with that, the train went into a long dark tunnel. The farmer got a bit scared. And he said, Father, where are we going? And the priest said, we're going to hell. And the farmer chirped back, said, I don't care, I have a return ticket. I said, but he would tell these jokes. He would love to listen to jokes. He would never miss a recreation. Never.
He derived great strength from his devotion to Mary, the Mother of God. Father Gerardo, who is the vice postulator for the cause of the beatification of Padre Pio, is telling the story of the statue of Our Lady of Fatima, which was brought to San Giovanni Rotondo in August 1959 during its tour of Italy. It was as though the Heavenly Mother was paying a visit to her beloved son, Padre Pio. By coincidence, Padre Pio had been seriously ill with pleurisy since March of that year. So ill, he could not even say Mass, only receive Holy Communion. He had, however, been leading a special 9 days of prayer in preparation for the arrival of the statue. On the evening of the 5th of August, the statue arrived, and the next morning, pulling all his failing strength together, Padre Pio managed down to the church, where he remained for a considerable time in silent prayer in front of the statue. As the statue was being removed by helicopter the following day, Padre Pio asked to be taken to the window in the choir so that he might see it flying past. As it did, he was heard to say, My beautiful Madonna, you found me ill, and you are going away, leaving me ill. At that, he felt a great shiver run through his body, and at that very moment, his illness was cured. In fact, he was as well as he had ever been, and immediately resumed the saying of Mass, hearing confessions, and all other priestly duties. He lived with a rosary in his hands. The rosary is the weapon against evil, he often said. And of Our Lady, she treats me as if I were her only child on the face of the earth. She comes to me whenever I need her. An expression of gratitude and joy, not of conceit. The day before his death, he insisted, love the Blessed Virgin and make her love. Always say the rosary. His last word on earth was, Maria. On September the 20th, 1968, 100,000 pilgrims gathered in San Giovanni for the 50th anniversary of Padre Pio's receiving the stigmata. Many of the visitors belonged to the prayer groups, which had grown spontaneously in many countries from his constant exhortations to prayer. There are now over 2,000 such groups throughout the world. Day, in spite of his frailty, he said the Mass that proved to be his last. He could hardly breathe or reach the altar. When he turned to leave, he almost fell. to the window to greet once more the visitors to San Giovanni. He waved his white handkerchief. Pellegrino was with Padre Pio on the night he died and is here telling Father Pius about it. I went to Padre Pio's cell about 8:30 or 9 p.m. and stayed with him for the rest of his time on earth. Occasionally, I wiped away his tears. Around midnight, he said, "Sit down beside me, please." And he began to tremble like a child. He continually asked the time, as though he had an appointment to keep. At 1 a.m., he asked to make his confession and renewed his religious vows, which end with the words, "If you abide by this on behalf of God, I promise you eternal life." At this, he seemed a little better, got up, washed his face, and went to the window, asking if the sky was studded with stars. He looked 20 years younger all of a sudden. After 5 minutes, he returned to his wheelchair, started to perspire very heavily in a cold sweat, and his lips turned blue. He asked for the wheelchair to be removed, as though he had no further use for it, and began to say continuously, "Jesu Maria," looking straight ahead. He said, "What is that?" "A photo of your mother," I replied. "But I see two mothers," he said. Thinking his sight was failing, I explained that there were other photos too, including his American friend Mary, who had recently died. "I see those clearly, Jesu Maria." As I made to leave his cell for assistance, he called me back, saying, "Do not trouble anyone else." I insisted, however, and went to find Father Joseph Pius and asked him to get his doctor, Dr. Sala. Dr. Sala and his colleagues arrived, and I went to bring the other friars. Padre Pio continued to repeat, "Jesu Maria," right up to his last breath, when at 2:30 a.m. he gently bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Feet, hands, and side had begun to heal during the recent months. During that last mass, the healing became complete. His dead body showed not a single scar or mark. He was already sharing his Savior's resurrection. Was buried in this tomb in the new, larger church, a tomb finished only a few days previously, surrounded by the thousands of pilgrims who were still in San Giovanni. How wonderfully God seems to arrange these things. As a young friar, walking in the fields surrounding Pietrelcina, he had prophesied that they would one day be filled with the odor of incense and the chanting of monks. On that spot, a seminary was built 30 years later, through the generosity of an American lady, Mary Pyle, who helped with English-speaking pilgrims for many years in her house near the friary. Her assistant, Carmilla, will always remember what Padre Pio said to her shortly before his death. Carmilla is saying, that she asked Padre Pio what they would do after he had gone. Padre Pio said, go on as you have done before, but remember, I can do much more for all of you from heaven than I can here on earth. In his lifetime, he heard countless confessions and is truly called the Padre of the Confessional. But, as he said to Carmela, his real work would begin after his death. He had planned a vast and much-needed hospital, which was completed in his lifetime. A poor Clare's convent, a home for sick priests, a home for spastics, and a spectacular way of the cross were constructed. Depicted as Simon of Cyrene, the man taken from the crowd to help bear Christ's cross to Calvary. Padre Gerardo described Padre Pio as the greatest mystic of our century. At a Padre Pio celebration day in Ireland, Father Jack McCardle had this to say.
Padre Pio wasn't defending what he was saying. He proclaimed it, and you were free to walk away. When you stop defending it, they'll stop attacking it. And I couldn't imagine a young person in person contradicting Padre Pio. He may have to walk away eventually, because he may not be able to take it. But he's going to be forced to a decision, to a response.
That he was really a man of God. You could feel God's presence in that man.
Non vi lascerò orfani, ritornerò da voi. Il tempo pasquale, cari fratelli e sorelle, di San Giovanni Rotondo.
On the occasion of his visit to San Giovanni Rotondo in 1987, the Holy Father said, I wish to thank the Lord with you for having given Padre Pio to this generation in this very tormented century. In his love for God and for his brothers, he is a sign of great hope, and he invites us all not to leave him alone in this mission of charity. doors of Padre Pio's beatification was officially opened in 1983, the decree being signed by Pope John Paul II, who had long been a devotee of the man baptized Francesco Forgione. Don't worry.